Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. So send us a note if you have an idea or just want to say hi. Our email address is indianaweekend@gmail.com. Springtime means a busy time on the farm. Across Indiana, we're shaking off the frosty cobwebs of another winter. But we've been to one farm that stays really busy all year long. Carlena Brown is co-owner of the RDM Shrimp Farm, half an hour northwest of Lafayette. They grow about 300 pounds of shrimp each month. Not much in commercial shrimping terms, but enough to keep her family busy, and one sign of what could be a growing aquaculture sector in Indiana. Assuming you have a building to put the tanks in, you could start a small shrimp farm for about $80,000. The payback period is said to be just 1 year. But just a little time with Carlena Brown and you're thinking, it takes a special kind of person to try this business.
How long have you been doing this?
It'll be 4 years in July.
And what were you before? What
was your I former? Actually was a cafeteria manager. I worked over at East Tip for 4 years, and I worked at Prairie Crossing for 3.5 years.
These are schools.
Schools, and you were
the cafeteria manager.
Yep.
And
one was elementary, one was junior high.
What did you learn from your previous life that helped you in this?
Food service. Where I got a lot of OCD issues when it comes to how we present it, how we take care of them, and how everything is cleaned around here.
You're very particular.
Very. I'll ask anybody, they'll tell you. I have very OCD issues.
And you need to be if you're going to be producing
Serving food. Exactly, because I don't want anybody to get sick. And I think that by the fact that we do a lot of OCD issues, we have separate containers for every single thing that we do. Every tank has its own entity, basically. Has its own feed bucket, its own sample bottles. Everything is kept solely separate.
How much shrimp do you grow here? How many pounds would you say?
We average about 300 pounds that go out our front door on a monthly basis. It's about 300 pounds.
When did you start doing this?
We looked at raising tilapia. Actually, my father-in-law and my husband looked at raising tilapia for about 20 years. They looked at it. And we were so serious about it, we actually purchased 20 raceway tanks in order to raise the tilapia. But my husband came across somebody that was raising shrimp, and we didn't know it at the time, but we ended up being the third ones in the country raising saltwater shrimp indoors.
Just the third?
Third one. There was three universities, and there was only two other privately owned. We were the third.
What's changed to make it possible, do you suppose? I mean, is there new technology?
It's not more technology, it's more knowledge. Because actually we're kind of going back on the technology. We're going to the KISS program and keep it as simple as possible. And okay. More and more facilities are coming up and doing it the same way. We keep it very simple, not a whole lot of filtration or anything like that. Like I said, we have zero filtration.
So how does the water get clean?
It actually cleans itself because we have a bacteria-based water.
Okay.
It's the same as the ocean. It would clean up its own self.
So this is the best way to see the shrimp, you were saying.
In our facility, this is the best way in our tank up front. This is also our experimentation tank. One of the things that we're looking
at. Shrimp experiments.
We do a lot of those. One of the things is that we are looking for is there's no research on them as to how big they can get and how long they can live. And also, we're doing two experiments in here. We're also trying to see if the larger ones can get along with the smaller ones without eating them. So far, so good. We're about 4 months on survivability out of these tanks, and they're at about 21 grams right now in weight.
Okay, and to help the folks understand, what we're looking at here is an aquarium, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And how many gallons is that?
This is about a 55-gallon aquarium, and we have three shrimp in there, and they are at different sizes and different ages. And it is at a 15 parts per thousand salinity. It's the exact same temperature and everything out in the grow-out tanks.
Okay. And so for folks who've never seen a shrimp outside of shrimp cocktail, let's describe them. They look, there's different
kinds. They look like miniature dragons to me. I mean, that's what they remind me of. They just look like miniature dragons. They have a head, two eyes out the side.
They're gray, for one thing. They're not pink like you think.
No. Actually, that's the fun part. They only turn pink when you cook them, but they are coming out gray. Sometimes these guys will be a bluish color. That means they've just molted. And then they'll turn to a white, and these guys are at the stage now to where they do turn the darker gray. Most of the time, they are at a white or translucent coloring.
I'm seeing these guys just standing there. They don't swim around like fish.
Oh, actually, they do.
They do. Okay.
They swim around. They're just not very active like what fish would be. They just kind of do their own thing. Most of the time, they do hang out at the bottom, but they will swim to the top every now and then. But they actually have two sets of legs on them. One are for walking, and the other one set is for swimming.
And what do you feed shrimp?
They're fed a 35% protein-based diet. It's a pellet-sized food.
Yeah, okay. And these are out here. These are for experimental purposes to see how big they'll get.
And it also lets our customers see a shrimp, because if you're like me, I didn't even think they had heads on them when we first started. I didn't even give it a thought. I mean, you know they have heads, but you just don't think about it.
Well, we don't see shrimp a lot in our ordinary when we're around.
Yeah, if you ever find a shrimp with the head on it, it means it's fresh, because you can't freeze a shrimp with the head on.
Oh, that's okay.
The only way you'll know that it's a very fresh shrimp.
I'm going to pet your dog here. What's her name?
Miss Franny.
Oh, what a pretty dog. And so this is a sales room, and so we kind of look around. And you have a frog over in this, and this one over here. You have a shrimp boat. Is this a shrimp boat model up here?
That is a shrimp boat, yes. I got it from my husband the first year we were doing it for his birthday. We are actually looking at purchasing a full-size shrimp boat. We want to put one out here.
That'd be
neat.
We
want to put a pond and everything out to the side. So you'll definitely be able to find us.
You know what I think you need next is a restaurant, right? Horizontal
expansion. We are looking at that. Our next thing is we're more into the educational side of this, that we're looking more for tours. That's one of the things that we're very big in is we do a lot of school tours.
Agritourism,
exactly. We do a lot of that here. We actually do a lot of bus tours that come through here, about 100 to 175 people at a time. And it's a lot of fun.
So where are we walking to now?
We're going to walk into our what we call our lab and office room.
Okay, lab and office. And dogs come along here.
Come on, Franny. Come
on. Franny? That's Franny.
Miss Franny. Short for Francesca.
Miss Franny. Okay.
Yeah, here we are.
Going into the lab now. So this is the experimental lab
where there are giant killer shrimp in here.
Can I sit this down here? So have you ever been down south on the Gulf where they send the shrimp boats out?
When I was 18 to 22, my summers were spent in New Orleans. I worked down in New Orleans for 4 years.
Did you get sort of a taste, if you will, for seafood business?
No. And it was really hard when you come back home and try to eat it here. It was very hard to try to eat it here. It does have a much different taste. And even the shrimp that we raise now actually has a much better flavor than what I got from the Gulf. It's clean, and that's the only adjective I can use for our shrimp is that it's clean. Because there's nothing in our water but the salt and the protein from their feed, and that's it. So when you get raised something in a clean water, you're going to get clean shrimp.
Under the sea, darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me.
Carlena Brown, co-owner of the RDM Shrimp Farm near Lafayette. As you might imagine, there aren't many shrimp farms in Indiana, but you could see more. The Browns are willing to help other people get started in hopes of building up the industry here, and their timing could be right. There's now a global shrimp shortage caused by a harmful new strain of bacteria that has devastated shrimp production in Asia. The disease started in China, according to researchers at the University of Arizona. They identified something called early mortality syndrome as the cause and say shrimp production in Thailand and Vietnam has fallen by more than half. So how does that affect us out here in Indiana? We'll hear from a Purdue specialist next.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think. Email us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now, here's John Strauss.
Talking about the shrimp business in Indiana today, the state has 8 saltwater shrimp farms, mostly small operations, but there is strong demand and a global shortage of shrimp, so they're hoping to grow the industry. Along the way, they're getting some help from a Purdue aquaculture specialist, originally from Ghana.
My name is Kwamana Quagrain, and I'm an aquaculture marketing specialist with Purdue University and also with Illinois Indiana Sea Grant Program. And my interest mainly is in the economics of aquaculture and marketing of aquaculture products.
Could you please tell me a little bit about the shrimp farming business in Indiana?
It is growing because it's a high-value species. One of the things in aquaculture is that if you are raising finfish, normally the margins are not very large. You have very small margins.
Very small margins, so you don't make a lot of money compared to your investment.
You don't make a lot of money, yes. And so what you need to do is two things. You have to get a species that has a very high turnover. And an example is the tilapia. And that's why a lot of people try to get into tilapia production, because you can turn over very fast. Within 6 months, you get a market size for harvest. And the same for shrimp. Shrimp is high value. It's high turnover, high value, though the volume of production is small, but it's very high value. And so that is what is attracting interest in the shrimp business. Right now, the cost of production indoor system, if you have your own building already insulated and you are going to put tanks in it, your production cost probably will be around $5. If you are going to put in a new building altogether, then probably you'll be shooting up $7-$8 a pound. But right now, all those who are producing the shrimp are selling on their farm at about $15 a pound. So you get quite a bit of margin there in terms of the profit you are making per pound.
And that amount, the cost of raising that includes the capital, paying for the capital needed to raise to start all that.
Yes, it includes everything, your capital investment and operating costs. So from $6 upwards, yes.
Has there been a change that has brought more people into this market, or is it growing, or is it staying about the same?
I wouldn't say it's growing in the sense that those who are doing it are expanding and producing more, and we've got a few people getting into the business. But there's a lot of interest. So many people have shown interest, but not many of them have really gone into the business. But the few who are in the business are expanding the operation.
What do we think is going to happen with aquaculture in Indiana? It's still a very small part of the overall agriculture picture, right?
That's correct. In terms of growth, we are seeing the existing farmers expanding their operations. That's where the growth is coming from. We have some new people investing in the business, but not on a large scale. It's really, besides Bell, I'll classify all of them as small businesses.
Isn't it true that while the U.S. consumes something like $12 billion worth of seafood every year, we produce just a small amount of that? And so this is why some of these producers are saying, hey, there's lots of room for growth. But that's the positive side. What are the limits to growth? Why, for instance, would you urge caution on the part of people who are thinking about getting into this?
Yes, I think I've talked a lot of people out of it than into it, because you know, many people have, you know, they read about it and they have all these, you know, high aspirations and hopes of going to make money from aquaculture. And like I said before, the margins are not very large. And so you really have to produce a lot as you expand in terms of economies of scale to be able to really make it. And so you have to take that into consideration.
But that's fin fish you were talking about with the low margins, right?
Yes.
But you would urge caution even for those considering the relatively high margin raising of shrimp.
That's correct.
Professor Kwamina Quadrain, an aquaculture marketing specialist in Purdue University's Department of Agricultural Economics, talking about shrimp farming in Indiana. Who knew in the land of corn and soybeans we'd be talking about Pacific white saltwater shrimp in Fowler, Indiana?
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana shrimp farmers are meeting in Indianapolis on April 23rd to work on marketing plans. There may not be too big of a crowd. The state only has 8 shrimp farms, but with a global shortage of shrimp, strong demand, and hefty profit margins, more people are eyeing this business. So we went to RDM Shrimp Farm, northwest of Lafayette, and talked with Carlena Brown, who runs the business with her husband and son. If you ever wondered what an indoor shrimp farm might be like, think of a large, low-ceilinged room filled with tanks of gurgling water.
This is our nursery division.
This is the nursery division.
Yep.
Okay, now we're in a room, and it's humid.
Very humid.
And warm.
We keep our temperature in here at about 30 degrees, 31 degrees Celsius, or 90 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
The room itself is about 82 degrees.
And this is because shrimp are warm water generally, right?
They like the warm water. And we get in, this is our nursery division. We have 6 nursery tanks. We get in over 125,000 every 25 days.
Can you call those baby shrimp? Or
we call them babies. Yeah. We call them babies around here. These are my babies, and we take care of them.
I want to use the right terminology.
So they are called PLs is their correct terminology.
Okay.
PLs are postlarval.
So these young infant shrimp, do they come in the mail, or how do you
get they're shipped FedEx overnight. We get them from a hatchery in Florida. There are actually only 3 hatcheries in the United States, Florida, Texas, and Hawaii.
Is there a name for the kind of shrimp that you have?
Ours are Pacific White or Vaname. They're just a Pacific White shrimp. And the reason we grow the Pacific White is they're a little more hardier than most of your shrimp. And they're also, this particular breed from the hatchery we get them from, they are bred to be disease resistant. So they have a little more, they're pathogen free. They are bred to be that way.
Okay, let's go over. I just want to get the sound of what we're looking at here. This is, we're looking at a tank, and I guess this would be about the size of a large card table in an area, you know, or one part of it, and you have, these are hoses that are pumping air in to
pump in air because we have to keep that bacteria in total suspension.
Yeah.
If for any reason we were to lose our air in a matter of 20 minutes, that bacteria will settle out and it will actually suffocate out your shrimp.
Oh, okay.
So it's very important that we do have aeration in it, and the oxygen is a bonus.
Okay. And you have a net, and it looks like an aquarium net, and you're reaching down into the water. And what are we looking at
here?
And
these are the babies.
Oh, my gosh. Look at those little guys. Oh, they're jumping.
These guys are about 30 days total in age.
Yeah.
And as you can see, you can see their bellies because there's food on it. Their eyes are now developed, and they look like little bitty shrimp.
Appears to be about
400 gallons of water. There are 400 gallons of water in each tank.
Okay.
Are they a little different in size? Experimentation. We were trying to see if size made a difference.
Yeah. So when you talk about experimentation, I'm guessing there's not really a handbook on how to do every bit of this, right? You have to figure
this out. There's no handbooks out there at all. That's the problem. So like I said, we've had to learn a lot through trial and error, or we'll research different things and kind of think if this might work or not. And we've had a lot of things that didn't work, but most of the stuff we've tried worked.
This is an interesting business. Why do you like this? This seems like a lot of work.
It is, but I absolutely fell in love with this. Like I said, I had no intentions of coming out here whatsoever when my husband started this. I really did. I thought if he really needed my help, I'd come out 1 or 2 days, you know, maybe help out. But my ego got the better of me because the first day he came home and told me it took him 5 hours to do a test. I'm like, sure, you know, that's just a man thing. And I came out and I haven't left. I've absolutely loved every minute of this.
Does it appeal to you? I sense you have a genius for organization. You like to set things up and you can figure out the order of things.
Basically, yeah.
And does it, this appeals to that, right? I mean, if you...
Yeah, it's the fact that it's not the same thing every day. You know, I mean, I never could work in a factory. I know that because it's the same thing every day. And I know I can never do that. That's why I like working with the cafeteria. I got to work with children. Those are never the same every day. And that's actually how we attribute most of our shrimp. They're just like children. Our juveniles, which is the next stage they go to, they act like juveniles because sometimes they're a little bit tougher and they're a little more testier about things.
The shrimp have personalities.
Oh, they do.
Come on.
They really do. They really
Can
do.
Can we go see the juveniles?
Sure.
Are they acting up today? Are they...
Actually, we're just moving them out today. So.
Oh, you are.
Okay. Yeah, we're moving everybody around right now.
have these tanks empty for 3 days with their new salt water before my next
trip. Oh, that's right, yeah.
So we have to, that's why I said they're coming in a week earlier than what we anticipated on, and I only have a 4-day window.
So, okay, so let's describe kind of where we are. We're in a,
our grow out facility. This is our grow out. This was our original building that we started, and we started with 6 18-foot round tanks. We didn't do as well with our original system that we actually got rid of it, and we redesigned it to our own system. And so now we're down to 12 footers. The 18 are still up because this is, we're helping other people that want to use the 18-foot tanks. We all personally love the 12-footers. They're just easier to work in.
You know what these remind me of?
They're swimming pools.
They are. They're swimming pools.
They're swimming pools. This is exactly what they are. We use them for cost, just to cut the cost. For when we were first starting, I mean, you know, we put in over $300,000 when we first were starting, and I can get you in it for $80,000, and it's because we're using both basically swimming pools. And our swimming pools, like I said, all of these are being flipped over to fiberglass tanks, because we do know this is what we want to do in the long run. So we are flipping everything over.
So what's the payback period on an operation like this? Does somebody start
usually after about a year, you're going to start making money back. You're actually in 1 year. If everything goes accordingly, and even at a 60% survivability, it should be in 1 year. It just depends on your building. I mean, if you're building a brand new building, you know, you may be talking 18 months. If you're refurbishing an old barn, you may be at 9 months.
By the way, do you have an aquarium at home?
I have 5 of them.
You know, I thought I was prepared for you to say, yeah, I've seen enough fish and water, you know.
No, I love aquariums. I always have. Like I said, I have 5 of them at home, and these are just larger aquariums that I get to work in every day.
Carlena Brown, co-owner of the RDM Shrimp Farm in Fowler, Indiana. She is joining other Indiana shrimp farmers at a marketing meeting in Indianapolis on April 23rd to talk about how to grow the business. Now there are only 8 of them, but other people are interested, so more could be on the way.
He was covered with mussels. He came over to me and said, "Listen, shrimp, don't you come trolling around here." What a crab. This guy was steamed. I could see the anchor in his eyes. I turned to him, I said, "Abalone, you're just being shy."
Hey, that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a shrimp farm you'd like for us to see. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.